Welcome to ICA Podcast 9. The goal of ICA Podcast 9 is to provide insightful information about the industry to members and non-members of Intercoiffure America Canada, the voice for salon owners. Each week, we'll bring business, educational, and inspirational topics to aid anyone with ties to the beauty industry. We will have a revolving series of hosts, pulling from industry leaders as hosts and guests to keep things lively and interesting, and make you wonder what's coming next. Now, here's this week's edition of ICA Podcast 9.
I want to welcome everybody on this podcast to someone really, really special. He's from Down Under, which if you don't know what that is, that's Australia. And we are so thrilled to be connecting with Australia through Intercoiffure. And it's one of the huge advantages of belonging to an organization where salon owners can get together and share and update each other about what's going on in their country and their businesses. So I would like to introduce Michael. And Michael, I want you to tell us all about who you are, where you live, and the titles that you hold, and then we'll go into more about your opinions on where we are in the trends. Okay?
Sounds good. Okay, my name is Michael Bell Castro. I'm from Sydney, Australia, and I'm the chairperson for New South Wales, which is a state of Australia. I also have a hair salon called Bell Castro Hair, and I run an education company called Be Educated, Michael Bell Castro.
So how long have you been doing that?
Hairdressing, I've been in the industry for about 27 years. The education business, we've probably had that running now for 4 years professionally.
So I know that you're involved really heavily in Intercoiffure. What are y'all planning to do for, and I know there's usually an atelier, are y'all still in lockdown so you're not going to be able to have that, correct?
Currently we're still in lockdown. We've been in lockdown in New South Wales since the end of June. And there is a possibility that we will open on the 18th of October, but it's not set in stone yet. So I think a lot of the Intercoiffure programs that we had for this year will probably be cancelled.
Well, you know what? We will be doing something in April. So I think all of you down in Australia needs to make arrangements to fly up and be with us in with America Canada. So we'll plan on that, okay?
But I'll be there if that's the case.
Let's talk about where do you see the industry going because of the pandemic? And also, where are you and what do you think the trends are going to be coming out of this? Because usually when we have something major that happens to our country or our world or, you know, just in our community, it changes the trend and what people are looking for. So what are your thoughts on where we are and where we're going?
I think for where we're going, you know, COVID, you know, as sure has turned us on its head. Like, as I said, we are currently in lockdown as we speak in Sydney. And by the time we return back to work, it'll probably be 4 months in lockdown or maybe more. And once we return as well, we are capped. It doesn't matter the size of your business. It could be 100 square meters, could be 400 square meters. We'll be capped at 5 guests in the salon at any time. So, I know it's not as bad as what you guys have had it throughout your lockdown, but In saying this, moving forward, you know, we are looking at each stylist to look after their guests from start to finish. This will be more of a personalized service that we're going to be offering. The stylist will be with the client throughout the entire salon journey. Where at the moment, the majority of salons, we have our emerging stylists or assistants, for example, applying their regrowth application so that the hairstylist can attend to another client while the color is processing. Now, they clean up after the stylist, their assistants, they apply the treatments, they do shampoos. As I said, keep the salon tidy so the hairdresser can keep, you know, working over the client. So moving forward, if this works where the stylist will look after the client throughout the entire journey, we will probably keep this as a new business model moving forward. And I can see, you know, within the industry, it will become more of a personalized one-on-one service. In saying
you
that,
know, today I was in a conversation with somebody else and they were talking about how we as salon owners around the world have gotten out of that full service, not meaning that we give manicures, pedicures, not that full service, but actual one-on-one full service attention to our guest. And that now with all of this, we're moving back to that. And maybe it will be the best thing that's happened to us in a long time to get us back on the right road of who we are and what we do and why we do it.
Yeah, I agree. Because at the moment, it's like, you know, you're back to back, you know, with clients every day. You know, you're going from one client to another, one personality to another personality. And it is quite demanding, you know, on the stylist, you know, for an 8 to 10 hour day. Like, and I think it's up to us as business owners and managers and also hairdressers to find and critique the way we run our businesses and service our guests. Each salon will be different and individual to itself to find what's best for them, you know, for the salon and also for the guests. So I think, yeah, moving forward, I do see, you know, we've always got to look at a positive, and I do see this as a positive. You know, there might be some little failures in between, but, you know, with every failure, you've got the opportunity to grow as well.
I agree. So are your stylist, and are you a generalist, meaning you do color and cut, or is it specialized?
Pretty much in Australia, the majority of salons, as a stylist, you do everything. You know, you do the cut, you do the color, and you style the hair or dress the hair at the end.
Right. So you are able to go and see the guest from very beginning to the end.
That's correct.
So how do you think our hair cutting has held up through the years? Do you think that we're better cutters generally in the salons, or do you think that we've gotten very lazy and slack?
That's a good question. I think probably the last 15 years, ever since like the balayage, the ombre, you know, this freehand painting has come in, the focus has been on hair color. Where prior to that, when I was doing my apprenticeship, it was all about the cut, where now it's more about the hair color. And I see a lot of, you know, the young stylists coming out of their apprenticeship, which is our TAFE, our college, struggling to cut hair. They can do long hair, straight solid lines, you know, some basic layering, but if you throw like a little pixie cut or a disconnection haircut in there, you know, they'll be lost. And I see that by the teaching that we're doing, not just teaching these new stylists coming through, but also stylists that have been hairdressing for 10 years. They haven't had that experience with haircutting as what we did when we were coming through. And you can see it in the sectioning patterns. You know, I look at, you know, a couple of months ago, I was in a shopping plaza and I was just sitting on the bench at the front of a salon, and I watched this client walk in, went to the front desk, straight to the basin, the wash area. The hairdresser clipped up her hair, and then I see her poke her head. She's sitting on the stool. She poked her head to the side, and I gather that's when the consultation started. So I think... yeah, I think a lot of us, not a lot of us, but I think there is lazy hairdressers out there. And it's because of the education. I think a lot of us don't value the power of education, because I think if you're not educating yourself and not educating your team, there is a soft decline. You're falling very, very softly and slowly. And it'll take a couple of years until you realize that, you know what? I'm too far behind to what the industry is actually doing. Right. So, yeah, I think we need more education back in cutting and treat it as an art form.
So when you came out of school and to get into the industry, were you mentored by somebody? Did you have an apprenticeship program that you went through? How did it work for you?
Okay, for me, I was doing laboring before I started hairdressing. And I left that job, and my mother was always nagging to get a trade behind you. She was a hairdresser. And so I left that work, and she said, I've got you a job interview. And I said, oh, doing what? She said, hairdressing. I said, please, I don't want to be a hairdresser. But I went for the job. I lasted 2 weeks. And then another job came through as a hairdresser again, as an apprentice. So I took that on. And I did my apprenticeship, which was 4 years. But in saying that, because it wasn't something that I was passionate about at the time, for me, it was just, okay, I've got a job. I'll get through this apprenticeship. So I've got something. And the salon that I was working at, there wasn't a lot of training. So I was pretty much a mule at the back of the at the backwash for 4 years, just washing hair. And it wasn't until I'd finished my apprenticeship, I took a trip to Europe with some friends. And when they were coming home, I stayed in Italy for a little bit longer. And I was offered a job in Verona, a city in Italy up north. And I was mentored there by the salon owner. And it sort of made me realize, like, this is such a beautiful industry. You know, just transforming, just watching the way they work, like just the passion that this guy had, Enzo was his name, working with his guests and how his guests appreciated, you know, what he had done for them that day. Like they kiss each other at the end of the haircut, shake each other's hand. There was a hug, you know, but it was like a family, it was like a family unit. And that's what sort of made me realize, okay, now there is something about this industry that is quite beautiful and quite unique. So when I got back to Australia, I was 21 and my mother goes, oh, there's a salon for sale in Northmead, which is a suburb near my home. And she said, why don't you go and buy it? And so I went down there and that's what I love about the youth. We've got no fear. We just jump in and do things.
Yes.
And I didn't buy the salon at 21. I bought myself a job at 21, which is a difference. So I was just working 6 days a week behind the chair. And I realized that I knew absolutely nothing. So I threw myself into some courses. One was a Vidal Sassoon cutting class when they came out to Hair Expo. And that there sort of changed my outlook in cutting and education as well. That's when I realized that, you know what, there is so much about technique, shape, design, you know, looking at a person's facial features, the face shape, the texture of the hair. There is so much that goes into a haircut and also a color that we sort of take for granted.
Absolutely. I love what you said. You bought yourself a job, not a business.
That 100%.
That has never been a truer statement that I've heard. And that has happened a lot to people and have then not made the business as good. So how many stylists do you have with you now?
At the moment, we've got, I think there's 10 stylists with us at the moment.
Yeah.
So we've got 10 stylists, all full time. We are heavily, I looked at, when I started focusing on running the business, like I got myself a business coach. And I also went to university and I did a diploma in business. And I like watching sport, you know, all types of sport. And I sort of looked at like at the athlete, the musician, the actor. And I thought, like, to get to that level, you know, what did they do to get to that level? And it made me realize that it wasn't, you know, you go, if you want your perfect, the desired body or physique that you want, you can't go to the gym for one session or one day and then all of a sudden you're going to have the perfect body. Excuse me. You've got to go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week continuously for a few years before you get that perfect body. So it's the same with hairdressing. I think for us, it's got to be a training program and like a schedule where we don't educate once a month or once every 3 months or go to a class once a year. It has to be continuous. And that's when we started to close our business down once a week for 3 hours every morning. And that is dedicated to our in salon only education. And then 4 times a year, we shut the salon down for the entire day. And we also do education, you know, and it's not just on hairdressing. Like we have, I've had a nutritionist come into the salon to discuss nutrition. How to eat healthy and stay healthy. I've had someone to talk about finance because a lot of our, a lot of the people in the industry are quite young and don't look at that. So for me, it's important to, I look at my staff as my own kids and my own family. So I want to sort of invest in them and give them every opportunity to move forward and be successful. So I think to be successful yourself, you've got to help other people. So it's all about, yeah, we have people come in for finance, nutrition. We get, you know, every few months we say we have a meeting, but I'll have a masseuse come in and do like 20-minute shoulder massages. So there's no meeting. They're just there with their croissants already and their cup of tea or coffee. And the masseuse walks in with his table and, you know, gives them all a 20-minute massage. So I think it's all those little things that will make a big difference in creating and holding a great team.
Absolutely. Listen, that I'm gonna come work for you, because if anybody offers me a massage on my shoulders, man, I'm a shoo-in. But you know what? That's a great idea. I haven't, you know, as long as I've had classes, I've never thought about bringing in a masseuse or somebody to massage. We used to offer massages in one of our spas, but it was really hard to keep them. And then, you know, everybody used her. But since we've done away with the spa part, you know, and that's a note to myself now. I'm going to add that to my agenda for my team. That's a beautiful thought.
Thank you. I think, yeah, we just got to, you know, if we want to create a great salon and a profitable salon for the business owner and also for the stylists, we need to look after our team, which is our investment. You know, and I think a lot of people are leaving, like, in Australia last year, I think it was 13% left the industry.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think one in three people starting in the industry doing their apprenticeship actually stay in the industry as well. And I think as business owners, we hold a big part in that. You know, I hear so often that, you know, as a business owner, they're not paying their staff correctly. You know, they're shortchanging them for the hours they work. They're burning them out. You know, they're just a worker instead of part of a team. So I think we've got to send them on a path, you know, as you would your own child. You know, you're not just going to let your own child run riot and do whatever they want. You're going to set them on a path and guide them through life. And I think we owe it to these younger generation that's coming through is to guide them through the path of hairdressing, and also, you know, whatever we can do to make them great people and great hairdressers and an asset to our business. Like I haven't employed a full-time hairdresser for about 12 years. I've just grown my apprentices up and kept them in the salon. I've got staff that have been there for 22 years. And everyone in the business has started their apprenticeship in the business. So I think, just as I spoke about before, I look at coaches, sports coaches, on how they create a great team. And the only way to create a great team is to keep that team together as long as you can.
Right.
Because as soon as someone new comes in, as soon as someone new comes in, that can change the whole dynamics.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about the culture. You know, that's a word that so many people use, that like their salon has a culture. You know, do you have, apparently you do offer a lot of reasons for people to work with you, not necessarily for you, but with you. And so is that part of your culture, is to be part of the team, and you're on that team too? Go ahead.
Yeah, our culture is based on the family.
Yes.
So, it's a family-like culture. But, you know, people say, you know, what culture do you want in your business? But it's not really, the business owner plays a part, but it's actually the team that build that culture, because they've got to buy into that culture. It's not me saying, okay, this is going to be our culture. It's going to be family. But it doesn't work unless your team creates that culture. So right. I think, yeah, it's the team that brings in the culture and creates the culture. We guide it and drive it, but they, you know, they create it and hold on to it.
Do you know, Michael, you're probably one of the five that has actually said that. Everybody else says that, you know, you go in and you figure out the culture you want it to be rather than for it to evolve and be created by the people so that they'll have ownership in it. And so kudos, because that, I think that's really important to allow the team to help create the culture, because then they maintain it, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So if you were, if a student was to come to you and say, I want to go to school and give me some advice of what I need to do, what would be your pearls of wisdom that you would pass on to them before they even entered the industry?
Okay. I'd tell them that it's not, when you're looking at a hairdressing salon from the outside or on their social media, it is totally different to what you see. You know, you're on your feet all day, it's hard work, and you've got to talk to people all day, different personalities, work with people that have got different visions and different views on life. So you've got to be adaptable, and you're on your, as I said, you're on your feet all day. So it's very demanding on the body and mentally. So it is a creative industry, which is beautiful, but it's an industry that you really have to love and enjoy to get into. And you've got to dedicate time to be the best you possibly can. Like even with students starting our cutting programs, you know, at the start I'd take on anybody. Where now at the start of the program, I'll say, if you're here just to learn a haircut, there's no point. If you're here to master a haircut and better yourself as a haircutter, then you're here for the right reason. Because as I said, with the sports person, they don't learn how to, you know, hit a forearm in tennis or a backhand in tennis. Once they practice that, you know, someone like Roger Federer, I'm sure he practices hours and hours a day to be the best he possibly can. And it's the same with learning a haircut. I'll teach you the haircut, but to master the haircut, it's what you do in your own time, not in salon time, but your own time, when everybody else is watching Netflix or at the movies, going out with their friends. If you can dedicate a few hours every week to hone your craft and practice what you've learned, you're going to be great and you're going to make a lot of money.
So what are some of the first things that you look for when you're interviewing? And then I also want to ask you, I know you've said that you've got all these people that have been with you for a long time, but I know in America right now, we are really suffering for recruiting people, you know, the right people. There's a lot of students in our industry, and there's a lot of people in the industry that probably shouldn't be in the industry, but it's the recruitment and the interviewing. What are some of the points that you would pass on to other salon owners, especially in America and Canada, of how, what do you look for?
Okay, we've got the same issue here in Australia as well. Like, you know, it's hard to find hairstylists. We have a lot of qualified hairdressers, but a lot of them aren't highly skilled. So there's a lot of qualified hairdressers, but a lot of them aren't highly skilled. When I'm looking for someone, as I said, I haven't put on a senior stylist or a senior stylist for 12 years. I've looked for apprentices and I grow my own. Now, I put on a boy, a young boy. He was 16 last year. He was still at school. He had another year to go at school, but wanted to get out. So I said, well, come in with your mum or dad and we'll have a chat. And I said, why don't you work part-time while you finish your schooling? And he said, no, I just want to do hairdressing. And what made me hire this boy at 16 was his eye contact. When he spoke to me, he looked me in the eye. He shook my hand when he came in. And he had a pleasant attitude towards life. So that's what I look for. I just look for people that I think will fit the brand and fit our culture that we've created. You can be the highest skilled hairdresser, but if you don't have the right attitude or can communicate to people in the right way, you know, I won't put you on. I think if you've got the right attitude, you can be taught anything and blend into any environment. So I look for attitude foremost above skill, because skill can be taught. And I don't.
Yeah.
And I used to, I used to put somebody on because, we need an apprentice now, so let's just put this person on. Where now, because it's going to give you headaches 6 months down the track. So I also use my gut. I go for the gut feeling.
So tell me about the schools in Australia. How many hours do y'all require down there? And do they try to cultivate an apprentice with some of the salon owners? I mean, or is it just straight school and then the apprenticeship comes after hours? Tell me how that works in Australia.
Okay, now we're in it's a three-year apprenticeship. It used to be four, but it's been cut down to three. So you employ the apprentice and that apprentice will go to college one day a week. And that lasts for 3 years. Sorry, it's 2 years, one day a week. And then their third year, they're in the salon full time. And that's how they do their apprenticeship. They've got to pass their courses. If they haven't passed their courses, well, their apprenticeship will get extended.
So do you turn in the hours that they work and have a control sheet of some kind or something that you send back to the college?
Yes, well, we don't send ours to the college. We have the college come to us. So that way it's a more one-on-one service. And there is they've got their whole schedule. They've got their workbooks that they've got to get through. Say for at the moment, they're learning the point of sale system. At the moment, that's one thing they're learning. So they've got to be marked off on that. They've got to be marked off on scalp bleaching. They've got to do 5 applications of on scalp bleaching to pass that. They go through the fundamentals of cutting, fundamentals of coloring. So they are taught in a way where once they've finished their 3 years, they have an idea of what to do, but they're not competent in what they're doing. So I still think, you know, and then again, it all comes down to the individual as well. Like how much do they want to grow? Because at the moment, there's so much stuff online that you can get, you know, and learn in your own time. So it comes down, I have one young girl, she's 21, she's just turned second year, and she was a professional dancer. You know, she was dancing through Europe as a professional. And when COVID kicked in, she thought, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I've been doing it since I was a kid. I need to change, and wanted to do hairdressing. And you can see the difference. This is what I mean when you look at a professional. She has pretty much finished 2 years in the first year of her apprenticeship because she's just that focused and that driven to succeed that she just keeps on going until she's there.
Oh, those are jewels, right?
100%.
When you see somebody like that, I mean, Don't you just want to grab them and hug on them and just be so appreciative for that they have that attitude?
It's so beautiful to see because you can see that they don't see it at the moment, but you can see that they've got the world at their feet, you know, in this industry. And this industry can lead you to so many other things. Like, you know, I think we study psychology in some way as well, like talking to so many different people. I think for a younger person, as I said, with a young boy that came in, he looked at me when he was talking to me because a lot of these kids now, they're always on their social media and don't have the eye contact or the confidence in talking to people. Where as these young ones come through, we give them that confidence and be able to hold a conversation with any age group.
Right. I agree. It's the skills that we learn over a period of time in our industry is so different, and it's so good compared to the other industries, you know, like medical industry, everything, because doctors can and nurses can be in there, but you know, they either have the skill, they're not necessarily taught the skill. We actually teach people how to do consultations and things like that. And but I don't know, I don't see our schools teaching our students those simple, like just to look somebody in the eye, to shake their hand, how to introduce themselves. And by the time we get them in the salons here in America, then we have to go back and teach those very simple basic skills to them. And I don't know if it's like that in other countries, but we definitely are seeing a lot of that right now.
Well, it's the same here. Like that's why, like my cutting school, the education that I provide is private. It's got nothing to do with a college or anything like that. These are salon owners and hairdressers paying their own way to come and upskill themselves because the TAFE or the colleges don't teach you in that manner, like just the purest form of haircutting, you know, which I think the fundamentals is what we need to learn at the very beginning, because then we can build on that. Also talking about what you mentioned about the communication skills. We had a meeting last month with another hair association organization in Australia, similar to Intercoff Pure, and on how business owners wanted to or thought how the system should change. And one thing I sort of put forward was, why not have your drama schools, like we have our international school here is called NIDA, you know, where all the actors go and learn their craft. Why not have a professional teacher come in and spend 10 weeks or one day a week for 10 weeks with the students on presentation, how to hold yourself when you're talking, communication skills, you know, that type of thing, learning to read a little bit of the body language, because I think they're the little things that we look past when we're learning our trade.
Yes.
Which is very important, I think.
There's a lot of different components, isn't it, to be successful.
Yeah, definitely.
It's and you're right. It's not just about cutting a good haircut. It's how to talk it, walk it, sell it, you know, and then identify, is it good or is it fabulous? And there is a big difference.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
Well, so tell me about your educational program that you do, that people come in and take classes from you. How many days a week do you do that? And do you do different levels of the curriculum?
Yeah, so first, the first program that we came up with, it's called Start Me Up. So Start Me Up is tailored for first and second year apprentices. So the ones starting out, and also for the third year that's just about to finish, that still lacks that little bit of confidence and needs that extra guidance as they make their way to the salon floor. So that is, we work on just classic haircuts that can be done. All the haircuts can be done in real salon time. That's another thing that I wanted to make sure we created in this program, because a lot of the time when you go and do a cutting class, you know, it's a haircut that's going to take you two hours to really get it right. So we wanted to make haircuts that can be done within 45 minutes to an hour. So with the Start Me Up program was the first one, as I said, tailored to first and second years and the third year. And then the following year, once that was successful, we thought, well, how are we going to keep these students growing? So we came up with a contemporary refined program, which is more working with advanced sectioning patterns to contemporary sectioning patterns and contemporary haircuts, you know, implementing disconnection, talking more about the face shape, you know, what you're going to do if you've got someone that's got a round shape, what shape you're going to put on top of that round shape. So it's more on the technical side of skills of things as well with a contemporary. And they come once a month and it's a 3-hour session. And we just go through one haircut in that 3 hours. So wow. they learn how to draw the haircut. They've got notes on the haircut. They've got a head sheet on the haircut. And then they've got to send me a photo of a haircut that they've completed. So that way they know and I know that they're still working through and learning as they go. So they're practicing throughout that month.
Well, I tell you, you've got so much going on in Australia. And I want to put a little advertisement here for everybody listening. Michael's going to be part of our October Atelier in New York. And we're going to be able to actually see some of your work, Michael. And I am so thrilled and pleased that you've agreed to be a part of us. And it's going to be held in New York, of course, at the Hilton. But the other thing is that I'm really going to be pushing for you to come back and maybe let's do some educational live events when this whole world goes back to somewhat normal and we can all travel, that maybe we can get you in a America, Canada area and you can hold some classes for us.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. Very much so.
That's going to be my goal, is to get you here. Okay.
Well, I'd love to meet the Intercoffure family in America and Canada. And, you know, work alongside them as well, whether it is in the education, because I'm always learning as well. You know, every time I teach a class, I'm picking up things that these kids are doing. I'm thinking, you know what? I like that. So yeah. there's always room to learn. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing something, and there's always room to grow. So we've also got our online education coming up as well.
Oh, so we've had if you would make sure that you send that to me, we'll shoot it out and we'll put it on our website so that everybody can go to the Intercoiffure America Canada website and they'll be able to see it and be able to get in touch with you.
Okay. Once it's up, we hope to have it up in November. Okay. And it's basically the programs that we're doing. And there'll be accountability for the student as well to show the employer that he or she or they have done the work. So there'll be three different aspects in the video, like the full length, a little 10-minute short video, an express one, and then they can click on there. If they would just want to do the fringe, they can just do the fringe. So it's tailored for, you know, all levels.
Well, I am so excited about you giving me your time today for this podcast and that I'm going to be able to share it with so many people here in Intercoiffure as well as into the schools, because we have a lot of students that follow these podcasts. So I can't thank you enough for your time. And I am so excited about seeing you in October and seeing your work.
Well, I'd like to thank you for your time as well. And it's an absolute honor to have a chat and talk about the industry.
I know. And we're going to do a lot of good things in 2022, right? We're going to get together and we're just going to jam. We're going to jam in hair, just like the musicians do, okay?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think this is like it's like a reset button, I think, this COVID for us. It's yes. Like, okay, this is up to us now to change our industry for the better, to yes. do what we love doing and do it how we want to do it.
Absolutely. We're going to go back to our basic foundation and yep. do what we do and do it the very best that we can. And then also pass it on to the people to make sure that the new ones come in are even better than we are. So definitely. Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate it. And I look so forward to seeing and talking to you again.
Thank you. And thanks for taking the time to listen to what I had to say, I suppose. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the ICA Podcast 9 podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for more industry insight and information. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast too and share it with your friends in the industry. Our only goal is to bring people together and share information with those that need it. Intercoiffure America Canada is proud to be the voice for salon owners. For more information about us, visit intercoiffure.com. That's intercoiffure.com.